District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley says the district is willing to explore the possibility of sponsoring lacrosse sometime in the future, but the McLean County Center for Human Service decision to stop taking new psychiatric clients shows there are greater funding concerns that schools have to consider. Riley also tells GLT's Eric Stock Eastland Mall's big drop in property values likely means the 2% growth in property values the district was projecting to enable a rate cut likely won't happen.
I'm not real optimistic that we're going to see that, unfortunately. If there are things out there that we're not quite aware of that swing it up there, that's fantastic. But realistically, I don't expect to see us hit that 2% mark.
Does it mean likely that what you projected as a slight drop might actually end up being an increase for taxpayers?
No, actually, I think it'll be flat to slightly up, but it's so slightly up that it won't make a difference at all. It's a negligible difference. So I fully expect it to be flat, maybe up about 0.2%, 0.4%, which in the grand scheme of things is not going to make much of a difference in the rate.
I wanted to ask you also about the lacrosse proposal that a local club had come to both District 87 and Unit 5 seeking assistance in starting a co-op program. They have come forward online and suggested that they were told no, but it was a possibility maybe for 2020. Can you give me an indication of what the district's conversations with the group was?
Well, I think that first and foremost, we appreciate opportunities for kids across the board, and lacrosse is a good quality program. The club is doing very well. They're looking to allow for kids to have that opportunity to be a part of an IHSA program. And I think everybody understands that. The challenge that we have, and I'll speak for District 87, is we have many challenges that we face financially. We have many issues that we're not alone in this. There are many districts facing issues with kids that are coming from families that are dealing with trauma, that are having mental health issues, and just things that are not being served to the degree that they used to be in the community, meaning that our social service agencies are not able to provide the services because the funding is not quite what it was in the past. You just saw the Center for Human Services freeze their services. They're not taking on new clients and perhaps have to look at even reducing their existing clients. That's not a good sign. So the challenge that we have is, in the end, potentially funding another program down the road, because the lacrosse folks are more than willing to go out and contribute to that. But down the road, that's a burden that we would take on, and it's coming at a time when it's very difficult when you have these other needs. And so when you prioritize, it's hard to put lacrosse or any other program for that matter that is an extracurricular activity above things that are very much needed for teachers in the classrooms, for activities that revolve around those very issues of trauma and mental health, when the funding is simply not there. So those conversations will continue.
How much of the money would the club have to raise as a starting point, and would they have to provide some sustainable mechanism?
Well, those discussions are going on with them. We don't have a set fixed amount or number. But the reality is we don't have any other program that relies solely on an outside source to fund, and that's troublesome for us, quite frankly. We don't want that. We don't want to have to rely on outside sources to keep a program going. We want to be able to sustain that. I don't see that as very appropriate. I'm not talking about those things like booster clubs that will contribute to various things to help support it, but for an outside source to totally fund it is just not realistic. So be that as it may, we'll continue that conversation with them, and I don't expect that we'll have an answer until probably late in the spring.
And lastly, what impact has the Center for Human Services and their funding cuts had for District 87?
Well, it's hard to say at this point, only because it's been very recent. But I can tell you that the reduction in services in the community, that has had an impact. And it's not just in District 87. We're not alone. This is affecting many out in the community, and it's not just school districts. So it's a very real issue. It's affecting teachers in the classroom. It's affecting building principals. It's affecting other staff as well. And we're trying to figure out how to best use our resources to be able to meet the needs of kids coming in to our classrooms. But, you know, you heard Dave LaFrance tonight talk about Oakland and how he has kids that are coming from homeless backgrounds all the way to kids coming from gated communities. That's a very diverse mix of kids. And for kids who are coming from households where they have very little, it's sometimes very difficult to address higher levels of academic achievement when you're working on very basic needs. And right now, we're seeing a lot more of having to take care of those very basic needs of kids. And that is our first and foremost priority. It's draining on staff. And it comes at a time where, you know, we're not flush with tons of resources. So that's something that we continue to have discussions on. And as, you know, the state continues to look at funding, my hope is that they continue to consider those type of factors in to making sure that we school districts do get additional funding to address these needs.
Is there a possibility that some additional funding will come for this, or will it be more of a reallocating of resources that you already have?
Well, right now it's just simply trying to find places where we can reallocate or adjust or use grant money. Down the road, I'm hopeful that our legislators and our governor really look to increase funding for public education. That's needed, it's necessary, and it's even more important today given these external factors that are playing out.
That was District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley talking with GLT's Eric Stock. Oakland Elementary Principal David LaFrance and his wife tell the school board the Bloomington school has more than 100 students who have a language background other than English. In fact, 27 languages are represented at Oakland Elementary.